Today is the June 29th, 2014 meeting of Hope Bible Church. This morning's message is With Music in Mind by Steve Phelps.
With music in mind, I thought I'd choose a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and hopefully yours as well. Steve Hogan and I have often talked about having a message that gives you insight into how to approach the singing portion of our worship here at Hope Bible Church. You know, music is a huge component of today's Christian culture and always has been for the people of God. The first mention of singing is Exodus 15, 1 and following. It's the song of Moses to praise God for defeating the Egyptians. This song is again referenced in Revelation 15 regarding God's final victory over the believer's enemy in the end times, the beast and his image. And God chose this song of Moses as a fitting bookend for the conquering people of God. God himself showed how important music is to worshiping him by placing a collection of 150 songs right in the middle of the Old Testament, the Book of Psalms. You may have heard someone say that they really like the worship today, meaning the singing. Music may be an important part of worship, but it's not the entirety of worship in a worship service. Many churches use music as a way to draw crowds. They see it mainly for its entertainment value. But God designed music to glorify himself. He placed beauty and order in it to reflect the beauty and glory of his name. Therefore, it's important for us to understand how to properly view music when we worship him. And that's our main topic today. How, at Hope Bible Church, should we approach singing our worship songs? We'll explore this using our key scripture text from 1 Corinthians 14, the second half of verse 15. It says, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind. At Hope Bible Church, we use this as our guideline for singing during our worship times. So what does it mean to sing with the Spirit? The Spirit's the conscious part of man, by which we are aware of our feelings and the need for meaning in our life. Singing with the Spirit is one way that the emotional and contemplative nature of our soul pours itself out to God. The Book of Psalms is a collection of biblical songs that display the height and the depth of every human emotion. I'm sure you've seen that as you read through the Psalms. Very, very emotive writers. They teach us that God recognizes that we are emotional beings. And they teach us that God gave us songs as a good way to talk with him about and deal with those feelings. One good example of how to talk with or sing to God about our feelings is Psalm 42. I'm going to read a portion of it for you. It says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So in this passage, we find the psalmist actually speaking to his soul. He finds himself depressed and in despair about the harassment of his enemies and the feeling that God doesn't hear him or care about him. He wants relief from those feelings. He's looking for a way to lift himself up out of this depression. As he pleads in song, remember this is a song, with his soul, to remember that the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, we ultimately find him commanding his soul to, quote, hope in God. Using the reasoning, for I will yet praise him, the help of my countenance, and my God. Have you ever found yourself talking to yourself in order to overcome discouragement? I know I have many times. You can use songs like Day by Day or It Is Well with My Soul to help you express yourself to God. A lot of songs and hymns that have been written by people needing to pull themselves up out of discouragement and troubles. Next, we have another use of the songs for the soul. In Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas were locked in a dirty dungeon of a prison. Hungry, thirsty, bugs and vermin crawling about, as well as disease and all forms of human uncleanness. It was not at all pretty or even a civil sight at all. It could have left them discouraged and hopeless. They could have felt abandoned by God and just upset at Him for letting them be unjustly abused at the hands of those holding them captive. Instead, we find their songs of praise to God resounding throughout the prison at midnight. We see it bringing hope and salvation to them and to others in the prison. Through Paul's and Silas's examples, we see that music is used for encouragement to help us persevere in the most difficult of circumstances through songs of praise. I can imagine them singing as loud as they could a song like And Can It Be or O Boundless Salvation. Besides singing in the midst of being emotionally down or challenged, we're instructed to sing to the Lord when our heart is full of gladness. So not only when you're discouraged, but when you're happy as well. In Hebrews 2:12, the writer quotes from Psalm 22:22, where the Christ is it's a messianic psalm predicting His suffering. And there He is saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. The context is God the Son praising God the Father for His incredible plan of defeating temptation, sin, and death through the humbling act of His own becoming, quote, like His brethren, to die as the perfect sacrificial substitute on their behalf. Jesus gave us the example to sing while rejoicing as we meditate on the truths about our salvation. And in a more direct way, James 5:13 commands us to sing praises when we're cheerful. It says, quote, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Pretty simple. But by this simple act of joyfully singing songs like Psalm 113 or O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, you'll bring honor and exaltation to God. You'll show others His overflow in your heart. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we see how the God-given beauty of singing can be misused or corrupted by unbelievers, even unbelieving people who claim to be the people of God. In Exodus 32, immediately following God's rescuing of the Israelites from the Egyptians, right after He crashed the Red Sea back on the Egyptians, we see them getting impatient as they wait for Moses to come down off the mountain while he's speaking from God, and they know that he's gone up there to come back with direction from God. But here's what happens as Moses returns. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other, and the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Now, when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a sound of war in the camp. But Moses said, it is not the sound of the cry of trumpet, triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. As in singing at a party. And it came about, as soon as Moses came near the camp, that he saw the calf, which they were worshiping, and the dancing. And Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. The impatient reaction that the Israelites shared in not waiting for God's instruction through Moses can be summed up as the wrong God, the wrong worship, and the wrong singing. It cost them thousands of lives and more time waiting near the mountain as he had to go back, get another set of his tablets. In Revelation 18, verses 19 through 22, as God describes Babylon's downfall and judgment, the first thing that he mentions is that, quote, "The sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer," end quote. God is using the removal of music as a means of removing their happiness and enhancing their sorrow, which is part of his judgment. Their music was definitely not a pleasing sound of worship in his ears, or he would have spared it. When you think about much of the last few decades of popular secular music, most of the song, you'll find it becoming more progressively and overtly unrighteous and ungodly. Most of the songs have one of two themes. Either they promote sinful behavior as a means of finding fulfillment in life, or they try to get empty, mindless phrases repeating in our heads instead of an encouraging, praiseworthy song about God and His ways. Much better to let the choruses of our hymns and songs be running through your head than mindless phrases. As we move towards the end of this age, we see that civilization's choice of music is definitely approaching the Babylonian type of music, and it really is deserving of God's judgment. Now let's consider what's meant by the phrase, "I will sing with the mind also." In view of singing with the Spirit in order to, first, uplift us from discouragement, second, to help us overcome difficult circumstances, and third, to sing praises when we're cheerful, it makes sense that singing is also a thinking man's activity. Early on in the history of God's development of Israel into a nation, we find David formalizing the role of music in worship. What this passage demonstrates is the relationship between singing with the Spirit and singing with the mind. I found it fascinating when I came across this the last few weeks. In Chronicles 25, the first seven verses, we find David designating the priestly musicians. And these are musicians, they're priestly musicians, remember, for the purpose of prophesying before the Lord with harp, lyre, and cymbals. This word prophesy means to speak forth God's message under the influence of the Holy Spirit. This passage shows how God communicated His feelings about Israel and communicated His truth to His people through the medium of song, because God was acting on these priests to give them these worship songs. It was Him communicating to them directly through song. As the passage unfolds, it demonstrates a progression that more directly involves the participation of individuals who are writing the songs. It starts with God directly influencing the songwriter through the Holy Spirit and ends with the songwriters recording their own memories of how God has blessed them. It requires them to use their minds to call to their remembrance the works of the Lord that have been happening in their midst. In the first verse of this chapter, 1 Chronicles 25, we see David and the other leaders setting apart specific families, quote, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. To prophesy is the word that indicates that they were under the direct influence or inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is the first part of the progression. God directly working through them to give them the songs. Next in the sequence, in verse 2, we see that some of the singers were, under, quote, under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king, and that is David. David was the king at the time. And this would have required dialogue between David and Asaph, in order for them to think through and to edit and to refine the songs. I know Steve Altman and I have worked on thinking through and refining songs that we've worked on writing before. It's not just always simple the first time through. Since the king, though, was God's anointed, the king of Israel at that time had the Spirit of God in him. He was God's anointed. So this collaboration then basically made sure that the words were truly the words of God. Then in verse 3, we're directed to those, quote, who prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord. So they prophesied in giving thanks. So in order to appropriately do this, they needed to consciously, or to use their minds, to acknowledge God's provision and providence in their lives. They had to actively use their minds to call to their remembrance the works of the Lord in their midst. You cannot say exactly what percent of this remembering was God putting it into their minds versus what they brought from memory or written record, but it definitely shows men being more involved in the process. Last in this progression, in verse 6, we're told of the musicians used, quote, for the service of the house of God. The purpose for this service was to accomplish the exaltation of God Almighty and the edification of the believers as they got to better know Him through the words and emotions of the songs. Both the exaltation of God and the edification of the believers is part of the mission of a Hope Bible Church. And we in the music worship team purpose to help everyone in this sanctuary fulfill these purposes every time we sing together. It's our desire that as a result of our singing together, we would exalt God and that you would be edified and built up, being able to overcome all the struggles you've had throughout the week. It's really a special time that we have as a congregation to sing. It's one thing to sing alone when you're in your personal devotional time, but as we're together, God really uses that in a special way. You know, these musicians, it's kind of interesting, were from the families of Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman, who along with David wrote most of the Psalms. You'll see their names in the headings of most of the Psalms. And note that in verse 7 indicates that there were 288 trained in skillful singing. What a choir that would have been to hear. They trained so that they would be conscious about the fact that their singing was first to exalt God and second to be an encouragement to others. I want to reiterate that the purpose of going through this passage is to help us see that from the beginning of organized worship, God Himself intended to use music to communicate His very personal words and His truth to His people. Moving to the epistles in the New Testament, we see that it is the responsibility of every follower of Jesus Christ to use singing for more than just personal devotional praise, but as edification for other believers, even if you think that all you can do is make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." This verse specifically commands us to use singing for two things in the church. First, we're to be teaching each other in song, which means being actively involved with doctrinal instruction or imparting the truth. We obey this command every worship service through our congregational singing. Many of the hymns, like In Christ Alone, How Firm a Foundation, or our newest song, Let Us Love and Sing and Wonder, are loaded with truth that instructs our minds while we sing. It gets reinforced. Second, we're to be admonishing one another in song by bringing to our mind and or our attention a warning. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Revive us again, which Steve referenced in his prayer. And Make Me Like You are good examples of songs that allow us to exhort and admonish one another while we're singing. Remember, you're not just singing to yourself or even just to God while you're here in our worship service, but you are singing to one another. We're all hearing collectively the words of the songs And we're repeating them in order to reinforce their truth in our hearts. It's instructive to notice that God gave us three main classifications of songs in order to accomplish our teaching and admonishing. These three types begin with psalms, which means singing with instrumental accompaniment. These psalms focus on prayers and praise to God. Next come hymns, which focus on glorifying the character of God. Hymns like Holy, 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 and Immortal, Invisible, that we just sang, are almost hyper-praise songs where it appears that the writer was almost unable to contain or fully know how to explain how he felt about the greatness of God. You get that feeling as you sing those songs. The third group are spiritual songs. These songs are songs that are internally driven by the Holy Spirit in response to meditation on the Lord God Almighty and or on His Word and His works. The Greek word for spiritual songs is Ode Pneumaticos, which means songs inspired by the Spirit. So these are songs inspired by the Holy Spirit. The root word is like our word pneumatic, which means to be powered by air. This is the same correlation that Jesus makes between the Spirit of God and the wind in John 3 when he's talking with Nicodemus. So the implication is that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to obey this command to teach and admonish one another with songs, Ode Pneumaticos, powered by the wind of the Spirit. The sister verse for Colossians 3:16 is Ephesians 5:19, which says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. This word speaking is a generic term that can include singing. So when you're singing, you're also speaking the truth to others. It's interesting to note that the word for making melody is derived from the Greek word psalo, which is from the Hebrew word psalms, and both mean singing with instrumental accompaniment. And I think it's interesting that Paul's use of this specific word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, twice in this verse and once in Colossians 3:16, dispels the thought that the church only sang a cappella without accompaniment. In the New Testament times, anyway. They were commanded, and we are commanded, to sing to one another in concert with instruments. This may seem like a lot of information all at one time, but the important thing is that you learn how to apply your spirit and mind to the worship songs that we sing. As I already mentioned, the primary types of worship songs are psalms, which are songs of prayer and petition, hymns of praise, and spiritual songs, which are primarily doctrine in song. I'd like to illustrate this by having us look together at a representative song from each of these categories. My goal is that you'll be able to have a more enriched time of worship in spirit and mind during our singing time together and in your personal devotions. In Psalm 67, we see that it's a song of prayer and petition mixed with proclamation about why God blesses us. We sang this as a prayer before I came up here. It says that God blesses us, or we ask Him to, that His name may be known on the earth, that His salvation may be known among all the nations. We ask that the nations would be glad, that they too would sing for joy, that He would be a God who would judge with uprightness and guide the nations, all of them, on the earth. It's a song that also asks us and reminds us that God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth would fear Him. And again, every time you sing this, you are praying and asking God to do those things, to bless us, that He Himself would be exalted and feared. The songs of these verses are sung in a contemplative manner. It's the way that the writer put them. While the chorus is sung more forcefully and with exuberance, and that's in order to emphasize its praising nature. So even the way that we sing the songs can help emphasize the different elements that are in there and help you hopefully remember them all the more. Immortal Invisible is a fantastic example of a hymn of praise. Did you notice when we sang it earlier that it's almost a list of key characteristics of God, and that these are sung with enthusiasm? That song is not sung in some lilting manner like a dirge, but it really is an exaltation. It's a praise. It's to lift you up as you sing that song and are reminded of the glorifying nature of God in His character. While you sing the song, it carries you along in that manner. So while you're singing, don't just passively think you're singing this song and just making a list as you go by. But God may strike you while you're singing that song with a specific thought about Him. That may be what you take away from this entire service, something that God said to you while you're singing one of these songs. Let us love and sing and wonder is essentially doctrine in song. It uses a couple of repetitive themes. Let us love and sing and wonder is the first one. And if you'll notice on there that when you do it the first time, it says, let us love and sing and wonder. Then the second verse, let us love. The third verse, let us sing. The fourth verse, let us wonder. So it helps guide you through the specific thoughts that the writer wanted to emphasize about those elements. And then the last thing says to let us praise and join the chorus of the saints enthroned on high. They're ones who've sat there. They have been ones who have loved and sung and wondered at the greatness of God. And then the second element that he repeats in there is about being washed with the blood of Christ and all that it does for us. Each of those verses gives a different means. So when you go back through this song later today, as I hope you will, or sometime during the week, think about why it is in each of these verses that he said that he has washed us. He gives the answer, and why it's associated with the specific command or the specific idea. Let us love. Why is that there? Let us sing. Why did he wash us? Let us wonder. Why did he wash us? Each of these songs can be found in your song sheets for today. And I encourage you to go back through them later in order to sing and think through them. First, think about what type of song they are, whether they're a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song. Secondly, ask yourself, what is the main purpose or the main teaching in this song? And third, let it lift your soul to God. God gave these to us so that we might be encouraged, that we can walk in the midst of the battles we have day to day. He has given them to us to help us, to lift us up, that we can fight the good fight all of our days. So it's my desire that our worship songs will motivate you to want to learn more of God's truth, as well as to help you meditate on the greatness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me finish with a few excerpts from these songs. I'm going to read them down through here as we conclude. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, Thy great name we praise. Let us praise and join the chorus of the saints enthroned on high. Here they trusted Him before us. Now their praises fill the sky. Thou hast washed us with Your blood. Thou art worthy, Lamb of God. God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known on the earth, Thy salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise Thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise Thee. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank You for this time. And we thank You for music. Music that You've given, that You might be exalted and glorified in us and through us and by us. Songs, O God, that You gave us to be able to minister to our souls when we're downcast and discouraged. When we're with a friend and notice that they are. When, O God, You then also have allowed us to be blessed by being happy, to be joyous while we're meditating on the greatness and wonder of Your majesty. O God, minister to us through these songs, I pray, every week, throughout the week, every day, O God. I do pray that You would use this time today, that You would cause the believers who are here in this church to be encouraged and to be able to strengthen one another through them. And I pray too that if there are those who don't know You, who are in our midst, O God, that You might touch them, whether it's through Your songs, whether it's through preaching, whether it's through the love of one of the saints and their singing. O God, be glorified in us. O God, be magnified, that we would exalt Your name together. In the name of Your Son, our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.